podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast as we are back at the very end of August. Adam Murray, co-host, coming in right through your living room or your speaker right now. Why are we doing this? By the way, I'm Andrew Reich. I'm the co-host too.
This is the big all the restricted free agents signed, right? This is the big Alex Len and Nerlens Noel deals we're talking about, right?
Well, not only that, Andrew Wiggins split up with his agent, so you know the only thing I find funny about that one, you know, just as a throwaway, is that if you get a max offer on your extension, how do you? And the deal's still on the table before Wiggins and his agent split up. Like, you can't get more than that, right? Is this just about years?
No, this is just about, I think he thinks,
what I'm saying is you can't get more than that. So how do you walk away from it, you know?
No, he's just walking away from the agent. I think it's just he wants different people. But they already have, you know, rules in place where saying, you know, he'll get credit for the deal and the agent will still get 4%. I think he's just looking to shave. Like, oh, yeah, I'm getting $150 million. Why am I giving 10% to this guy?
Trying to get some more back off the residuals or get some percentage points back. I hate to tell you this, Adam Murray, but I didn't wake you from your sleepy slumber about a night ago because of the Andrew Wiggins and restricted free agency contract negotiations. I don't think that's what we talked about. You know, it's funny because – you know, Adam and I have been away. Obviously, we always take our, you know, little month-long hiatus, maybe a little longer, depending on the atmosphere of the, you know, the atmosphere of the situation. The NBA, as always, in the offseason, they throw you for a loop sometimes. You know, it usually kind of hovers around that summer league / free agency period where, you know, the GMs are all kind of getting to talking. I think the latest big deal that I ever – remember was right at the end of July when the Kevin Garnett trade got finalized with the Boston Celtics and the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think that's kind of the latest I've ever seen. Do you remember one that maybe kind of dipped a little bit further? Maybe the Dwight Howard trade in 2012, right around the time of the Olympics?
No, I was going to say the Garnett trade as well, but this is, you know, training camps are going to start in a week or so and everybody's getting ready and all of a sudden this just came out of complete nowhere and the magnitude of just these crazy. Ooh, how does this happen? How does two championship caliber teams swap something who are rivals and at this juncture of the season and everything should have been all set, ready to go. All the storylines were already being pumped out by ESPN and just we'll just change everything.
Oh yeah, if you're in a staff meeting and you just had your little powwow to do your season previews, how pissed off are you right now? Because, like, you know, first of all, what do you think of, like, I mean, we're going to get to the gigantic elephant in the room in a minute. I mean, for anybody who hasn't been, unless you've been, you know, in an Adam Murray long type of Rip Van Winkle slumber for about a couple of days, maybe you don't know what happened, but just to get it out of the way, Kyrie Irving was traded. And he was not traded to the infamous wish list, which had, I believe, the San Antonio Spurs, the New York Knicks. There were two others. Who else am I missing on this one? The Clippers, maybe?
Timberwolves and I forget the fourth one. Knicks, Spurs, Timberwolves.
Yeah, and the only one that was sort of reasonable based on return, max return, was Phoenix, but the fact was that, like, Kyrie Irving, because he had requested a trade, there was all types of talk that he had requested a trade before the draft, but the news leaked out about maybe a month later that Irving was unhappy. He didn't want to play with LeBron in Cleveland, even though they had been so successful together. And there was a lot of talk after that once they brought in the new GM or put him into that role. I think his name was Kobe Altman. Is that his name?
Yes, I believe so. And
yeah, that when he came in, that they were looking into the trade. They were looking into the possibility of trading Kyrie Irving. But I think people kind of were thinking, all right, this is the calm down phase where, you know, LeBron will get in the room with Kyrie Irving or his people, and they're going to, you know, hash it out. And at least before training camp, they're going to try to find some kind of piece so that they don't have to move Kyrie. Well, that's not what happened. And now we're kind of in a situation where Kyrie Irving is now a Boston Celtic. He was not traded to the West. He was not traded to some kind of team that might not be in a position to be competitive against Cleveland in the Eastern Conference. They traded Kyrie Irving to what you could arguably consider the second best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, it's just a trade of this proportion where you swap all-stars. Just, this is just an NBA Live trade. This doesn't happen in real life.
Is it strange that it comes off of the heels of a handful of pretty major trades involving, you know, all-stars, or you could consider superstars, switching places? Now, the lengths of the contracts for those players, they're all fluid situations. They all have different circumstances. You know, Jimmy Butler had 2 more years on his deal when he went to Minnesota because Chicago was sort of back, wanted to kind of go into a rebuilding mode, even though I don't know if they think they're rebuilding. they're trying to rebuild with the same guys that tore it down. The other one is Chris Paul when he went to the Houston Rockets, where a lot of people were, you know, giving a round of applause to the Clippers because of the fact that even though they were losing Paul, they at least got something in return, because if Paul just walked away in free agency, they would have left with nothing. And the other one that got moved was Paul George to the Oklahoma City Thunder, which was just we talked about this on previous episodes, was just a fucking swindling.
Yeah, and that's what I don't get about this trade in particular, was the fact you can have a trade where both teams can win and both teams can get what they want. It doesn't have, you know, and people are like, oh, Boston paid way too much. Who do they? It's like they thought they're getting Chris Dunn and Levine Levine and Lauri Markkanen out of this. And stuff. They just, oh, well, we gave up the number 3 pick. Or number one, you know, the Brooklyn pick. Well, where is there room for another number 1 pick? Who is he going to supplant? Like, let's say you get one of you, you know, your boy Otto, or not Otto Porter Jr., Michael Porter Jr.
Michael Porter Jr.
Who's
a potential 2018 draft prospect.
Where is he going to play? Who is he going to take minutes from? There's no room on this roster. And so, okay, well, Dane doesn't cash chips in. Why doesn't he make a trade? Okay, now I made trade. Well, you got Kyrie. Kyrie's overrated. How is he overrated? He's one of the top, you know, what, three point guards in the league?
Well, let me ask you this, because I think the flames have definitely been fanned over the last 24 to 36 hours, but as this trade has kind of hit the airwaves and people decided to sound off and about as quickly. I saw a lot of pundits, you know, major ones. One I believe was Dan Feldman, and he gave the Celtics an F on the trade. Now, first of all, let's get through the mechanics of the trade. Kyrie Irving was traded to the Boston Celtics. The Cavaliers in return got Isaiah Thomas, who's in the last year of a very small contract, also coming off of a hip injury, but he had a tremendous season, went to the All-Star game, helped lead the Celtics to the Eastern Conference Finals. So that's one of the main parts of the trade, of the return for Cleveland. The rest of it included Jay Crowder, who still has a couple of years left on very, very small money, given his value on investment. Ante Zizic, and then the 2018 fabled and last of the Brooklyn picks, which is the part of that 2013 Billy King, Danny Ainge trade where the Nets gave up the future to get a bunch of old people. That has been discussed probably in every episode of the NBA Team podcast since we started it. And now we are finally at the tail end of it on Boston's end because they just traded it to Cleveland. A lot of moving parts here. I don't even think Cleveland is done with the moving. Would you agree with that?
That is why when you woke me up to tell me the trade, my first thing is like, what is Cleveland, like, what is their game plan here? Because, okay, you got Isaiah Thomas, who we could say it's a fair swap. Mm-hmm. It's pretty even.
Right now, going into the 2017-18 season, yes. Isaiah's a much worse defender. Like, I think that Kyrie Irving's defense is slightly overrated, but I think he's definitely better than Isaiah Thomas. They're both pretty bad if you get them stuck in small pick and rolls. The other part of it that I worry about with when you do comparisons is that I think Irving is a better ball handler than Isaiah.
Yeah, but for the most part, you're trading, you know, an A blue chip for an A blue chip. The thing I was like, you know, what I was confused about, is like, okay, they didn't give up, they didn't get Tatum, they got this pick, so you have Isaiah who can't play defense, and you have Kevin Love who can't play defense.
He can rebound, but he can't play defense.
That's how right. is he, you know, how are you going to put those two on the court together in the fourth quarter against Golden State?
They would be four. You know, I think they posed that to Bill Simmons on his show, and I think he made the right call, is that you would be forced to have to play Tristan Thompson in crunch time minutes.
So what good is Kevin Love then? Garbage, well, garbage third quarter points?
You go to stretch mode where you have – but here's the thing. You can't do five out, which a lot of people now in the NBA want to do, you know, in when you want to go to your best offensive lineups in the last, you know, 5 or 7 minutes of the game. If Tristan Thompson on the court – That's not five out. That's four out, one in. So, you know, it kind of messes with it. There's just, like I said, there's just a lot of moving parts, a lot of different components of this that I don't think have yet to be answered. I think LeBron James has been radio silent from the beginning. I mean, the silence at this point is almost deafening, Adam. I mean, there's a lot of scuttlebutt there about him probably considering the LA Lakers, I guess, allure. The potential that he could be able to – there would be the max slot to go there, maybe build around whatever they have. That's just one destination. But at the end of the day, he's still a Cleveland Cavalier. He's committed to playing there. He did not opt out. So what would be the end game here with LeBron James and off the heels of this move? Do you feel like LeBron James is less likely to stay in Cleveland after the potential to opt out in 2018? Or do you think that he's more likely to stay?
I don't think there's really it changed the dial's been moved either way.
So you think this move had zero ramifications or influence on what LeBron James is going to do anyway?
No, that's why adding a top, you know, a top pick, and we'll get to the pick in a minute, but adding a top pick doesn't really bode like, well, he's going to stay because all he wants is his friends. He doesn't want rookies to play with him. He wants his banana boat crew. He's waiting for Wade to get cut so he can re-sign him. He's not, you know, oh, let's get, you know, this young guy. And it's like, no, all he gets are just old veterans. And who was it last year that it was not Dante Jones.
Well, there was Kyle Korver, there was James Jones, who just retired.
Yeah, but James Jones, Richard Jefferson, he just wants all old people around him as well. It's so, oh, let's have this 18-year-old kid. The last time, you know, he had a young person was Kyrie Irving, and as we see, that sort of just fell apart after a while. And, you know, it's one of those you could also say, well, oh, Kyrie, you know, he didn't really do too well. Well, there's not much you could do when LeBron says, well, just give me the ball. I'll play point guard for the whole game. Oh, you just, you know, defer to me. So in that system, he wasn't really utilized as best as he can be. And if you could get him, you know, if anyone could get him out of that sort of just funk, it would be, you know, Brad Stevens. But it's just you're betting on upside potential.
Okay, well, let's just stay with the Cleveland part and then just kind of focus on the basketball side of things for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think this might be the hot take, but I've heard a lot of hot takes in the last day. Some might not stand – hold for it by the time we get to November, maybe even – you know, then even further than once we get to the midseason of the NBA. But I think short term, I think Cleveland actually got better. Because you got Isaiah Thomas, who's can average over 20 a game. He can play off the ball as a two. He's still got some pretty good ball handling. His athleticism in terms of going side to side and getting to the rim is pretty good. I don't know if it's not as good as Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie Irving can just go up, down, and around without getting a shot block for lay-ins, which I still don't know how he pulls it off. And also, Kyrie is probably a better shooter, so there's a few things that you're giving up, but you're still getting Isaiah Thomas to play the guard spot. With LeBron James still being able to play the point forward without really sacrificing ball movement, because that's not really what Kyrie Irving was doing in the first place. He was the point guard only by name. He was kind of like an Allen Iverson-ish type of point guard. Would that be a fair assessment of Kyrie Irving?
Yeah.
You know, they're also bringing in Jay Crowder. Now, Jay Crowder can play the four if you go small. I don't know if you go big, especially with Love and Tristan Thompson in the mix. I don't know if you could play Jay Crowder at the four. The only reason I'm mentioning this is because unless LeBron James is willing to do kind of pinch post stuff and you can move Jay Crowder to the three, it might be a little complicated how to put him into the lineup. But he's a very valuable player. He's fairly good on defense. His shooting, it went a little south at the end of last season, but overall he's a decent shooter.
Oh, he's a very good defender, and that's what, you know, for having a second unit of you know, it could be J.R. Smith, it could be Mon Shumpert. You have Kyle Korver, who doesn't play any defense. It's just, well,
what I'm kind of getting at is that I don't think Crowder's going to start. I think Crowder's going to come off the bench and be the defensive energy guy.
Oh, yeah, there's no way. There's no room for him to start, not with LeBron sitting there. And what position does he feel like playing today?
Yeah, and even if they move Shumpert, they're probably going to get something in return that LeBron will feel confident in starting alongside. Even if it's like Richard Jefferson, like in the Keith – we call that the Keith Bogans role, where, you know, you start the first 6 or 7 minutes and then you don't play anymore. That kind of deal. So, but that's just one part. Ante Zizic, decent player. Remember, you're also bringing in Chetty Osman, who's a more of a wing. So you got two, you know, foreign guys coming in.
Two guys going to the Canton charge.
Yeah, no. I think we'll see Zizic a little bit because of the fact that you just need you need some of that fortifying.
Where are you going to have him behind Love, Thompson, and Channing Frye?
I see him as Thompson's backup.
All right, you know, whereas you have Channing Frye,
like a standard five type of back.
Okay, you have a standard five, and you know when LeBron refuses to get off the court and moves to the four, and you know Crowder comes in as the three, and Korver comes in as a big two, I guess it's.
But are you on board with the hot take that Cleveland is actually better now, or do you think that if Kyrie had just stayed and they didn't get the return that they got, that they probably would have been better off?
Oh, yeah, they're better. They'll be better this season because last year they sort of just, I don't want to say they coasted last year, but they're like, yeah, we're content getting the two. And
the latter half of the regular season was definitely.
Yeah, anytime you could upgrade, you know, like I said, well, let's just call Kyrie for IT an even trade. You added Jay Crowder for nothing.
Okay.
So that is just a huge win. And like I said, his defense is great. His three-point shooting went down a lot. But if he's the Jay Crowder of 2015, that's great. If he's Jay Crowder of 2016, good luck.
Well, there's the LeBron vengeance factor where he's – the one thing I always give LeBron James is that even though a lot of people question his methods and the way he sort of grinds on his teammates, he does find a way to get the most out of what he has. He always has. That's just his – that's his style. So I think he'll be able to do that with Isaiah. I think he'll be able to do that with Jay Crowder. Now let's kind of float over to the Boston side. First of all, let's kind of just go from the beginning because it almost, when you look at last year's roster that got to the Eastern Conference Finals, it almost looks on paper, Adam, which is kind of funny because of the whole notion that, you know, the Boston Celtics are sort of like kind of, you know, barely stepping their, you know, dipping their toes into the waters of free agency and the trade market. They were sort of in an inertia phase. They had all these picks and all these assets and they weren't making moves with it. What is Danny Ainge doing, like you were alluding to? Well, if you look at the roster that was in the playoffs and then you look at it now, it almost looks like a dismantling.
It looks like the entire roster's gone.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at that roster, the only ones that you have remaining that were from that team, when I look at it here, are Al Horford, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and Terry Rozier, and that is it.
That's it. Just four people's gone. Their entire
Irving's new. Tatum's a rookie. Ojale's a rookie. Keenan Allen's a rookie. Gordon Hayward was the big catch, obviously. It's so funny. We have totally forgot about the fact that they got the best free agent in the open market, Gordon Hayward. Marcus Morris, Gershon Yubisele, Aaron Baines, Abdul Nader, and Shane Larkin, who was a backup point guard. Now, I don't know if he'll even see playing time. It's crazy. It's an absolute crazy dismantling of a team, which everybody has this like figurative notion of, oh, they're playing it safe. How are they playing it safe when you've basically given away most of your roster to get stars?
Because I think they're in the mindset of, let this year be the team gel And then when if and when LeBron leaves, they will be prime, because then Golden State's going to be a part of their – they'll be in the, what is it, $90 million tax bill problem next year. And you know.
Well, I believe based on the fact – because here's the thing. You look at Isaiah Thomas and Kyrie Irving, because a lot of people are kind of focusing on that as like a swap. No disrespect to Jay Crowder, Ante Zizic, and whoever that Brooklyn pick becomes, because those are very big parts of the deal too. But a lot of them, like you're saying, it kind of feels like, okay, it's Isaiah for Kyrie, Kyrie for Isaiah, which is fine. But in terms of salary, it's very imbalanced. So you add Jay Crowder into the mix, you'd think that would balance it out. Well, no, because Jay Crowder's on, what, $5 million a year? So you got to make at least, I believe what it is, isn't it like 75% of what you're giving away? So Kyrie Irving is on a $19 million contract, which for his sake is still pretty great value, because point guards like Mike Conley and Drew Holiday right now are making up to $25 million a year on max money, whereas Kyrie Irving signed his extension in 2014, and that cap line was not available to him. Not compared to what he's going to get in about 2 years. But I'm glad you mentioned that about the fact that Boston will be in a position where they can wait it out, because it's not – I don't think this is definitely not a one-year plan for Boston. I think people are looking at it short-sighted and saying, oh, the Celtics are trying to win now because they see blood in the water for Cleveland. That's not the case. I think they're kind of looking this is our like 2 or 3 year opportunity.
Yeah, let's let the rookies get some more real testing. Let's get, you know, our three superstars mesh together, and we don't need to. Our window is a little more extended than Cleveland, because you know Isaiah Thomas has his, you know, he's on $6 million, but he also said he wants the Brinks truck, and you know people are sort of like, well, he'll probably get the Kyle Lowry.
I think his free agent value has actually diminished because of this, not because he's become worse by being traded, but it's just that Cleveland's not going to have the same loyalty that Boston maybe would have had they kept him.
And that's the problem, is there has never been a, you know, in recent times, a more loyal, you know, recruiter for the Celtics, the face of the Celtics, going out, you know, getting the pitches to Hortford and Hayward, and, you know, going all out saying, come to the Celtics, and all of a sudden, hey, you know what? Thanks for everything you did. Thanks for helping us land these guys. All right, goodbye. So I think that's what a lot of people are hurt, because they hate to see Isaiah, the player, the person, go. As you know, 29 years old, hip issues. You know, you see a lot of the ex like, well, why hasn't, you know, we're sort of worried he hasn't. Why hasn't he come back? You know, why is he taking it super slow? And
let's put a number on the shade factor here, and we're gonna go on both sides here. On both sides of the coin. Boston with Isaiah Thomas. Now, Isaiah did it all for Boston. You know, he got picked up from the Suns, but he was already on a low-value contract, and Isaiah made it work. His sister dies in a car accident the day before the playoffs. He plays anyway, you know, and then he gets hurt, plays anyway, gets into the conference finals, but then his hip gave out and he couldn't finish it in a series that they were probably going to lose to Cleveland anyway. But the fact that Isaiah had finally found a place, he averaged 28 points a game. He was an MVP candidate on most scales. And then the Celtics, after an entire summer of courting Gordon Hayward and using Isaiah Thomas as part of the pitch, they dump him.
It's just there's no loyalty. It's just
But give me the shade. Like, how much of it do you feel like Isaiah should feel vengeful?
Oh, he should feel that, but at the same time, it's just this is the definition of, yeah, it's a business. You know, great, you did all these things for us, but we feel we can upgrade. We can get, you know, somebody who's on their upside as opposed to somebody who's probably on their downside.
Well, I think that's where some of the anger is coming from, is the idea of, well, did we upgrade? Now, everybody who reacts to a trade will immediately want to jump on one side of the fence, and then some will jump on the other and say, no, we didn't really get better. Kyrie Irving's not as good as Isaiah Thomas, and we gave up Crowder. We gave up the fabled Brooklyn pick, which we'll get to at the end here, because I feel like that's kind of like the it's going to be the last shoe to drop. You know, there's obviously moves that Cleveland's got left that they might want to make, but that's short-term stuff. The Cleveland pick, the pick that now belongs to Cleveland, that's going to be the one that people are going to look into and say, well, is Boston going to regret this? But there's a lot of other contingencies that are connected to the Brooklyn pick and where it goes and how valuable it is and blah, blah, blah. Let's go to LeBron Kyrie's side. First of all, did Kyrie Irving – owe anything, not to the Cavaliers, did he owe anything to LeBron in terms of either communication or how far he brought him along to being in a position to be a superstar?
No, because you don't need to be best friends with everyone on the court. We've seen that elsewhere. It's just he came in, all right, you're the number one pick, you're the face. Oh, LeBron's coming back. Okay, well, welcome back, LeBron. You could do what you want. Oh, you want this coach fired? All right, that's cool. You want to bring in all your friends to run everything? Okay, that's cool. And, you know, it's just one of those, he just felt like, all right, I've had enough of this. For, you know, whether he's right or wrong, it's just one of those, it's kind of, you know, the only sort of worry thing is LeBron does not seem like a difficult person to play with, and if you can't get along with him, who can you get along with?
Well, the thing too is that until you really get to the deep-seated like storylines of the teams that LeBron plays for and the organizations that he winds up joining and how much he sort of like uproots his influence, we don't really truly know what goes on. Like, there's probably small things even that probably set off Kyrie Irving when it came to the LeBron factor in Cleveland. The other thing that's kind of strange about it is the David Griffin thing, because he was obviously let go by Dan Gilbert before free agency. He's been sort of on the talk circuit. We've seen him on The Jump for ESPN. He's been doing a couple of podcast interviews. He didn't get the Knicks job because the Knicks are stupid. But he's said some nice things about Kyrie Irving in the process of people asking him questions about Kyrie, because the trade request had been put in, you know, probably about the time that David Griffin was still there. Now, Griffin's exit and the way it was horribly handled by Gilbert and the Cleveland brass, that also set off LeBron in terms of feeling like he couldn't trust the organization and maybe put some untenable like cuts on the relationship between him and Gilbert that the Cavs might feel the ramifications of next year. But when it comes to Kyrie and when it comes to the fact that the GM situation has been so, you know, in flux, and the fact that they've had all this fluidity and then they make this decision, is it possible that this was just a simple miscalculation because there was so much stuff going on in Cleveland that they just made this like knee-jerk move? Or do you feel like Cleveland got some pretty good return on it?
Well, it's all because of ego and, you know, everything. Everybody has to have the biggest ego in the room. And as far as the Cavaliers front office just dumpster fire, yeah, you know, regardless of what their return is and what they got for it, it was just, you know, apparently he had made the request like a month ago and then it got out later, and it's just, well, you know, what can you really do? And, you know, he did waive his no trade clause to save.
That was part of it in order to make it happen. That was why the wish list was such a big deal, because
not no trade clause, trade kicker, I meant.
Okay. Yes.
I'm too busy stuck on the Melo trade.
Well, that also happened with Chris Paul. Didn't he take out the trade kicker because of the fact that they had to stay under at a certain point to not get too far over the cap?
Yeah, he took it, which is, you know, 15%, so that's another $3 million that you have to equal salaries. And
money's a big deal here too, because if you, like we said, the salaries, the trade is the trade. And the Celtics got one player in exchange for four assets, three players and one asset. But Cleveland did not nearly take on as much money as they had been giving up. And we all know the story about Dan Gilbert and the epic repeater tax that they're already, you know, subdued in. And that's already shrunk from, I believe, like somewhere around north of $70 million down to about $59 million. Which is a pretty significant drop.
He shaved like $30 million off his, you know, repeater tax with this. And
I mean, that cannot go unsaid. You know, that is a part of it, too.
So, yes, that does play a part. And, you know, they were enamored with the pick because they haven't had picks in ages. But, you know, like, with one thing we're not, you know, can't forget is Brooklyn is actually trying this year. In a year where nobody is trying and you have Indiana's and Cleveland's or Orlando's and the Knicks and the Lakers.
Bulls. I think the
and
Bulls
who are going to be god awful terrible. The Nets aren't going to be the worst team again. They're going to be sad. You know,
okay,
shocking.
But I just don't think Danny. I think Danny Ainge is a smart guy. I think we've talked about this before, that I think he's always had an obsession with getting a star. I think that was part of the Horford acquisition when he was trying to get Kevin Durant. He realized he wasn't going to get him, so he swooped in and got Horford as quickly as he could. Gordon Hayward he had in his sights from Jump Street, and he knew that because of the relationship with Brad Stevens that it was a possibility. Well, the possibility became a reality. The Kyrie Irving thing just reeks of everything that the critics of Danny Ainge have always complained about. Now, I'm not saying that means that Danny Ainge has been like the emperor has no clothes, that Danny Ainge has been exposed as a bad GM because he's a star fucker. He always wants to get the big name in the deal if he can make it happen. But do you feel like Danny Ainge was biding his time to make this deal, or do you feel like when the opportunity was there, because of the fact that Kyrie Irving might not be in a position to ask for a trade later in the season, that he had to pounce on this while the iron was hot?
Well, I guess reports were once Cleveland stopped asking for Tatum, the deal was done pretty quickly. So I think Danny just likes the guys he likes. And
if
then
Tatum or Brown and the Brooklyn pick was a package and Boston passed on it, I'd say that was pretty smart. You know, that would have been a little too much for me.
Since he put together the first big three of, you know, nobody knew that Pierce and Ray Allen and Garnett would want to play, you know, all buy into the same system. And he's putting people want talent over the same thing Houston's doing. Well, they want a big three as opposed to chemistry. You can have your, you know, Portland chemistry team, but talent will win out over chemistry any day. And
that's a good way to look at it. Yeah,
he's, you know, his philosophies. But like I said, I was just surprised. People are like, what are you doing? Why is he trading Fire Ainge? And what, he doesn't make a trade, you get angry. He does make a trade, you get angry. Well, we give up too much. Well, you know, the biggest loser here, which, you know, I had joked to you, was the biggest loser is Kevin Pritchard, of just what the hell was he thinking?
The Indiana GM.
To get, in the end, all you get is Oladipo and Sabonis.
Well,
and
the last episode we did before the sabbatical until the bat phone rang for Adam Murray was Hold My Beer, because of the fact that we just had this litany of deals, and some were on a smaller level, like Miles Plumlee with Dwight Howard and the Jimmy Butler Bulls trade with the Timberwolves. We were looking at that. I think unanimously coming off of the draft, because the deal happened on the night of the draft, and saying, "Holy shit, what a bad deal this is!" You know, for the Bulls, like they took pennies on the dollar, and they gave up Jimmy Butler, their best player. Then Kevin Pritchard pulls off right before free agency begins, like hours before free agency begins, Kevin Pritchard pulls off the trade, the steal to end all steals, where they basically gave Paul George to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, I'm not trying to disparage Victor Oladipo or Domantas Sabonis, but that is literally all they got in return for Paul George.
No pick, no, you know, we were asking for three picks. No. You got Oladipo for George, and Sabonis was just a salary throw-in.
So, go ahead.
No pick, no future value. You just you know, gave him away because you couldn't wait because the Celtics are like, look, we need to wait on we need to wait on Gordon Hayward. We need to wait. Be patient. Ugh, I'm angry.
And you know what their reply is? They want to charge the Lakers with tampering. Like the idea that, oh, the Lakers leaked it out that Paul George doesn't want to stay here and it killed our leverage. That's why we got a bad deal. No, you got a bad deal because you took a really bad deal. You know, There were rumors everywhere. Because, listen, if Cleveland was able to pull the trigger on the Paul George trade that involved Kevin Love, I don't think this Kyrie deal would have happened.
No, it didn't. And then, you know, as you've seen with other panic trades, let's just quickly double back to the, you know, your Boogie Cousins trade. It's like, oh, you know, you got, you know, all that for Buddy Hield. But then you look at the picks, it's like, oh, look at the draft. They did some pretty nice drafting the past year or two.
I still defend that deal for the Pelicans. But different, like we say, different circumstances with different franchises.
You know, but like I'm saying, with the draft picks, the Sacramento has some nice players and looks like, you know, a couple
well,
years
Well, the assets down. Is always the most – it's not the most important part of the trade. I think Isaiah and Kyrie obviously are. But the thing about the assets is they're mystery boxes. Like, you don't know what they're going to be. You know, that was part of, like, Andrew Wiggins when he was traded for Kevin Love. You know, like, no one knew how good Andrew Wiggins was going to be. Now, I think Andrew Wiggins is going to wind up becoming a good player. He's going to wind up getting that max extension eventually, regardless of who his agent is. But that's why you're never sure whenever you tack on assets or draft picks or future picks onto a trade. Because if that mystery man becomes a superstar, you just made a big mistake.
Yeah, and then again, you know, that mystery man, look at the Harden trade.
It could be Anthony Bennett. I mean,
it could be Anthony Bennett, or it could be the assorted garbage Oklahoma City got for Harden.
Yeah, like Jeremy, I was just thinking about that, Jeremy Lamb and the such, yes.
Yeah, so it's one of those, yeah. Again, you have, you know, months to scout, and the best you come up with was Anthony Bennett. It's just like, huh? And, yeah, so you never know. The draft is a crapshoot. You could even, you know, you could have the best player and then, like Embiid, you have the best player. Oh, wait, he's gone for 2 years. And then that leads to another pick, and constantly kicking the can down the line. But in the end, you can have trades where both teams win. But it's just, you know, in the end, it's just completely shocking that two teams, you know, it's like the Red Sox trading with the Yankees. It's just you don't hear about that.
Yeah, I mean, now the Red Sox were. I remember that they were competing to get A-Rod from the Rangers, but that was different. The Yankees were trying to wrangle A-Rod from a different team. The Yankees weren't trying to get A-Rod from Boston and such. You know, that was different. With this, it's just rare because a lot of people, you know, who would think, well, KD went from the Thunder to the Warriors and they played in the conference line. Yeah, but KD left Oklahoma City. You know, it goes back to the storyline that there's no loyalty in sports anymore. Like, not just from the owners with the players, but vice versa. That KD, Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City in the dust to go play on a championship team, and that was it. With this was a voluntary transaction. Both of these teams, and I'm not trying to say that Boston is like on the level of Cleveland. I think that conference finals proved that they weren't. But the fact that they are right there, like they are knocking on the door, and Cleveland and Boston, who will maybe play each other again in the conference finals, made a swap is just stunning. It's stunning. I'm not saying it was a bad move on either side. I don't want to deadpan. I just don't want to, like, you know, shit on it either way, because I do think that Cleveland got a decent haul, and I think the Boston Celtics got the best player in the deal. But you just very rarely see two teams at a pretty competitive level, go head-to-head, and they say, hey, let's switch players and see how this goes.
Yeah. It's like I said, you just don't.
It's almost playground mentality. Okay, you go to that team, you go to that team, let's see how it goes.
Yeah, let's just shake it up. And, you know, I guess in the end, it's the big winner is the fans, because now not only do you have the Houston Golden State dynamic of, you know, can this new, you know, challengers come along. Now you have this whole Celtics Cavaliers drama.
And you have, which and there's a giant. I mean, I don't think it beats the beef of Westbrook versus Durant. Would you agree? But that's, is that still number one in the beef department?
No, that was overrated.
Then what's number one?
In the beef category?
Yeah, like just kind of like tumultuous rivalries, brooding rivalry type of thing. I mean, well, Kevin Durant and Oklahoma City in general.
Well, that's just, you know, stupid fans and
deep-seated hatred type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and but as far as like, there are no rivalries yet, but at the same time, this keeps you interesting from day one. You know, conveniently, day one, Houston, Golden State, Celtics, Cavaliers. Oh, wow. You know, what a great way to start off the season.
It starts at Quicken Loans for the opening night. So that'll be Kyrie Irving going back with the team that they eliminated in the playoffs. Yeah. And the other thing is, too, like, just the height, the idea, like, it's not like the Kyrie Irving deal is this, like, is like the straw that broke the camel's back for fans to say, oh man, this is nobody has respect for any type. There's no respect for loyalty across the board. Like, this has always been around in sports. It's never going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get more muddied where teams are just willing to do anything and package any deal with any player to, because they just have this perception that the deal that they have on the table will make them better. They will always pull the trigger on it. But I do think it is going to change this notion, because there were so many big trades this summer, that when these players go back to their original, you know, teams, that they're going to say, oh, well, we need to boo this guy because he left us. And that's where I think it's going to get a little – it's going to be a little different, because there's so many big star names that have switched places in the offseason compared to others.
This, like, you know, I don't want to beat the dead horse, but just saying with the loyalty thing, there is none anymore with players saying, yeah, I'll gladly give up money to play with my friends, and management saying, that's great, you did everything for us, but we're still going to move on from you, even though you did everything you possibly could. It's just any player at any time, you know, you have Jason Tatum, who's not even, you know, hasn't put 1 minute on the court, and he's already in trade rumors going to Cleveland. Yeah. Same thing with
Andrew Wiggins
Jackson.
Is in summer league for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And they're literally like, hey, this is a great audition for someone else. It's like, dude, I was number one. What do you mean an audition? I play for the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's like, yeah, but in about a month you won't be. You know, it's. I mean, that was just, that was 3 years ago even. I mean, this is, like, when it comes to Paul George, because we're going to get the requisite return to Indiana drama, I almost feel bad for him. Like, I feel like Indiana should give him a round of applause.
Oh, he didn't. He said, I'm not going to come back, but I'm doing this as a favor to you, as opposed to, I'm not going to pull a Durant and be like, oh, I'm going to leave and I'm gone.
Yes.
It's, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing you a favor to get something. It's not his fault.
Yeah, so he lets the cat out of the bag, and now they're turning it around as, oh, well, other teams were conspiring against us to kill our leverage. It's like, yeah, but isn't the whole idea to prevent the Kevin Durant type apocalypse where they just completely leave you in the dark, and then at the moment of truth, they leave you in the dust? Like, isn't that what you're trying to prevent by getting it out in the open? Like, Kyrie Irving, I don't really blame him. Like, I mean, if you are unhappy, get it out there that you're unhappy. Does it hurt the leverage and the return of investment on a trade? Maybe, but at least Cleveland was smart enough to know that they could get the most right now.
Yeah, but he also didn't go public and say, I want out. Or he didn't say.
But then, there's the anatomy of that whole thing where, you know, you feed it to Woj, you feed it to Shams from the vertical. Like, at this point, is it sort of like, is there this kind of transparency that the people that want him to get moved are feeding it, but they don't want Kyrie to say it because they want to protect him from saying something that'll disparage the organization or kind of make him look like a malcontent?
Well, that's the thing, is who's the one leaking it? Is it his agents, exactly, or is it the Or is it the Cleveland management who wants to...
Or is it LeBron's people? Maybe LeBron wanted Kyrie out of there. You never know.
Exactly, and it's just one of those, now you're just chasing ghosts on that one, trying to figure out conspiracies. And also the conspiracy theory, should you be filing tampering charges now, since the vultures are slowly circling at Davis down there?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's...
You know, if they come slow, let's all open the bank for AD.
Well, I've already heard that scenario a few times on the Emergency Podcast Network that has gone all over NBA Twitter with all these people like, oh, we got to get in our stuff. This is the big one. Like, I mean, we've had some big deals, and some signings this summer, Adam. But I mean, this is the big one. This one, it kind of felt like we had a lot of pretty significant moves that sort of happened in very quick succession, and then you had this kind of long drought, and then you have your perennial August lag where there's really not much, and then we get this one. Like, does this feel like the biggest deal of the entire offseason?
This is the biggest deal of like the last.
Is this a hard trade? I mean, we can't count free agency like Durant to the Warriors, people would say. Gordon Hayward just this past season, you know. There's a lot of big ones like that. We're talking about trades. We're talking about, you know, lateral moves.
Yeah, and this is just one that, like I said, you don't see this happen anywhere other than video games. So, like I said, I seem to be more optimistic than other Celtics fans who thought they got ripped off completely. And it's not a trade for this year. It's a trade for next year.
And that's what I think is an important thing to say, that, and you've hit it on the head, is that I think people are immediately looking into this with Boston. It's like, oh, well, how are they going to beat Cleveland next year? They weren't even close to beating them, and you're adding Kyrie Irving, but you're losing this and you're losing that and you're losing this draft pick. Yeah, but you still have the draft pick that from Philly, whether it be the next year or the guaranteed one from the Kings in 2019. Regardless, you still have the Memphis pick down the road. You still have a number of assets. They were in a great position from the beginning. Now they're just in a very good position because they did give up something to get Irving. The only argument I make against Cleveland, even though I thought they did get a good haul, now did they get as much as what the Clippers did? I would say no. I thought the Clippers actually did the best out of all the trades. Would you agree?
Because they
that?
could have gotten absolutely nothing.
Exactly. But when it comes to Cleveland, my only issue is this, and I always go back to this as the backbone of the deal. Did you lose the best player in the deal? And right now, because like we said, the draft pick is a mystery, the answer is yes. You lost the best player in the deal.
You lost the best player in the deal, and now do you sort of have to pay Isaiah Thomas?
That's where, if the nuclear option kicks in where LeBron leaves, then it gets really weird, because LeBron is renowned for taking his pretty time because he wants to pull the strings on the free agency. He likes the ego stroke. He likes the control. He wants people to wait for him to make a decision, and then they follow suit with whatever he does like a wave. Is he going to be willing to go out there, be proactive with Cleveland, be in alliance with them, and tell Isaiah Thomas, hey, if you sign with us but maybe take a little bit less here or a little bit less there, we can make this work? Like, is he on board is really at the end of the day what I'm asking you. That's the biggest question of that.
And he's just going to do what he wants to do. And if, like I said, if he leaves, this roster is just a bunch of his friends who are overpaid.
Would you give a 29-year-old Isaiah Thomas $25 million a year for 4 years?
He's gonna probably get the Kyrie. He's gonna get the Lowry, probably 3 for $90.
Because the thing about Lowry is that was also a happenstance thing where, in particular for that summer, the point guard market dried
everything
up.
Shut down, and
there were good point guards in the draft that filled certain spots, like at Dallas and Philadelphia. And
people are
going
to be hesitant to give a 32-year-old that fourth year who's already 5'9" and his defense isn't good.
And also, is this a damning by Danny Ainge of draft classes? Because now he was at the number three pick in 2016. He took Jaylen Brown. A lot of people, including me, thought it wasn't the greatest move. I thought they could have gotten a little better. Now, Jaylen Brown might turn out to be a really good player. He had the number one pick through the Brooklyn pick in 2017, and he traded down. He traded out. He just decided, you know what? We don't need Markelle Fultz. We can go with Jason Tatum at number three and move down and get some extra value.
See, that's another mystery.
Then you trade out completely in 2018.
That is the complete mystery of this past draft is what happened on that Fultz workout. That it just went from, oh yeah, we're taking him to, yeah, no, we're definitely not going to take him. And with 2018, like I said, where is there going to be minutes? You know, I think once you say we have Hortford, we have, if it was Thomas, if it was, you know, Kyrie, and you have Hayward, where is this new kid going to get minutes from? And he's going to, you know, his number one pick, but let's say it's number one pick. Mm-hmm. He's going to be making $7-8 million to, you have two number three picks already slowly starting to clog the cap because they're both making $7 million. Oh, well, rookie deals are so great. Yeah, but not the top five. The top five are still pricey.
Kyrie's a great ball handler, but the irony with Kyrie is that he's going to be in a very similar position to what he was in Cleveland. Now, I'm not saying Gordon Hayward is like a point forward on the level of LeBron James, but he's a good passer who happens to play the small forward position. Marcus Smart can defend at the three, but he plays at the two. But he's more of a ball handling type of guard. Now, is he up to the task now that Avery Bradley and Isaiah Thomas are gone to
These are questions that will be answered in our season previews.
Yeah, so we're going to be, you know, getting there, but I felt like we had to at least get our Place to Be Nation 2 cents in on this one, because that, I mean, it's just too big. It was just too big of a deal for you. And I like talking to you sometimes.
It's been a while.
A few of the whiskers growing, getting a little bit of that moonshine.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's, you not every day do you have something of this nature happen. So,
well, how much of this really threw you for a loop that, you know, to the point where you felt like, okay, this is something that needs to be discussed. Like, it doesn't happen a lot. We've had a couple of these situations where a big move was made or a big event occurred, and we was like, okay, we have to address this. Something, we've got to get this out. This is one of the biggest ones.
Well, most people thought that he would, okay, it'll pass, and then, you know, with the rumors of, oh, he was gonna skip minicamp, and I guess once you start skipping that, then, okay, the value sort of really goes down and you know he's really serious.
Yeah, well, the communication level, I'd love to be a fly on that wall with the Cleveland brass of, like, at what point did it really get to where there was like, okay, we've lost him. It's over. And then they realized they had to make a move. I'd love to know. I don't think we'll ever know. But I do know one thing. Kyrie Irving's not a Cavalier. And Isaiah Thomas is not a Boston Celtic, which is kind of heartbreaking for Celtics fans. But guess what? You just got the second best offensive guard in the league behind Steph Curry.
It's one of those, just the drama keeps going.
It's this, I mean, and this is the biggest one of them all. I'm glad that we got a coup de grace to finish up Trade USA for superstars. But on behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reese. Thanks for joining us for this episode. And, we'll be back pretty soon as we took our little detour here. See you later.